Just to say, in case I forget, that next Sunday we'll have our normal services in the morning. And then in the evening, I was going to do a late night to see the new year in, but a lot of people felt that wouldn't be suitable with children and stuff, and then some people don't bother to come anyway, so. And I'm not saying that's good or whether it's bad, because it's probably stupid to sit up late anyhow. But what we're going to do next Sunday, we're going to have normal service at 6. And that'll be like our late night. We'll have it at 6 o'clock. I don't see any difference to having it at 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Maybe more sensible at 6 o'clock. Well, you won't see the new year in, but why I'm saying we'll have it at 6 o'clock next Sunday. You can come and sing, give a testimony. I'll not be preaching. It'll be just like we have it every other year to see the new year in. So our 6 o'clock will be our opportunity to come and sing and give a testimony, and we'll have our normal service Sunday morning. So there'll be 2 services next Sunday. No services on Wednesday. And but the 2 services are normal next Sunday morning, praise God. I just want to thank each one this year for their support and their effort, and especially our sister Carl taking up the Sunday school role, doing the magazine, and I know she's a busy woman, and yet she was able to do it. And a lot of people, you know, say they've no time, whether it's preaching or preparing or things of God. Well, I want to tell you this morning, if you've no time, you need to change things. And whatever's taking your time up, get rid of it and put the Lord first. Because what will happen is life will be gone. Life will be over. And you'll regret. And it'll be like the song, I wish I'd given him more. Now I know we all have to work and do things. I used to work 60 hours a week. When I started, I didn't always be the way I am now. But I used to work 60 hours a week. And I used to go to Dublin on a Saturday night and preach for them every Saturday night. And I still did the 3 services here as well and worked 60 hours a week. My wife will tell you, for Wednesday night, I used to be studying on a Tuesday night, 12 into the morning, to get a message for the Wednesday night. We used to not be back home on a Saturday night, sometimes to 1 o'clock coming from Dublin. And that's when we were down in the old place, in the old roads. And I used to go down every week for them to help them start. They had no preacher. 14 years later, they have a meeting in Dublin. They have 70 of a congregation, and they baptized 5 people in this last 3 months. So it's definitely not the devil bringing them. That's one thing I can guarantee you. And we need to put an effort forward for God here. And I have to take this morning. There's a negative to this Christmas as well as a positive, and you're going to hear that this morning, and I'm making no apologies for that. But I prayed and sought the Lord for this meeting this morning. What will I preach? What will I preach? And everybody's different things to preach, and I believe God spoke to me. In the early hours of Friday morning, I believe God spoke to me. And I want to share with you this morning. And I believe this is an important meeting. Some people haven't come, you know, maybe there's different reasons. I know some people are sick, but the Lord bless each one that's come, and I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage your sister that's took up this Sunday school. You know, I believe there's a lot of things belittled in Christianity today. I'm going to say that. One of them is teaching Sunday school. Sunday school is one of the greatest calls of God. Jack Coe started with Sunday school. Spurgeon started with Sunday school. D.L. Moody started teaching Sunday school. All them men of God, that's where they started. Sunday school is a place for, it's an opportunity to sow the seed and the young people to be born again. And we need to sow it, believe me, because we have too much computers and games and rubbish today that they're watching and seeing all the time. And they need Sunday school. Praise God. And I know maybe we don't have many, but we have enough. 2 or 3 of our brother prayed, that's enough to get started. Where the Jews had 10 people that formed a congregation. That was enough. 10 people was enough in the Jewish faith. We have more than 10. I know this morning there's a lot missing, but nevertheless, we do have more than 10, praise God. And I want to thank your sister and also our deacons, our elders for their faithfulness, and our sister Alva and our brother Terry as well, with the organ, brother Gary as well. He's not here, but I want to thank him anyway for leading the songs. It's hard leading the songs every week. You know, and I just want to thank everybody for your effort. Praise God. And it's all about the Lord. I want to read Matthew chapter 1 from verse 18 to 25. Maybe we could stand while we read the Word of God. And I'm going to say a lot of negative things about Christmas, but I'm going to say a lot of positive things, so I hope that'll be alright. The main thing for us is Christ.
Amen.
Even though I'm going to show you that this is a pagan festival, it's nothing to do with Jesus Christ. It was adopted in. But it is paganism in origin. The very dates is the son of a pagan god. But we want to take our opportunity. Spurgeon said this. He said many people don't have anything to do with it, but he says, I don't agree with that. He says, I will take it as for the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to do, though we know all these things. And you know, I was blessed. I was reading just the other day, and I actually cried when I read it. You would have to know what it was like in England at the time Spurgeon was living to understand the impact. But Spurgeon asked God that God would help him to do something great, and he opened two orphanages. Now if you read the history in England, there was many orphans at that time. And the Bible says, suffer the little ones to come unto me. Such is the kingdom of God. Chet Coe opened an orphanage as well. I tell you, God used these men. We never hear half of the stuff what God's done. But I thank God for it. Let's read this morning. Verse 18 of chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Amen.
Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus.
Amen.
Let us bow our heads, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word we can read. For this is your word. The holy, infallible, impregnable, unchangeable word of the living God, which is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou would bless thy people today and quicken them by the power of the Holy Ghost through thy word. Lord Jesus, for those that sick, may the hand of the Lord be upon them to strengthen them and heal them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. I thank you, Lord, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
At the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
And I take that Holy Spirit by faith in Jesus' precious name. And I ask that you'll bind every work of the devil in every life, in every home. And you will spoil his goods in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray again for all our loved ones that's been praying. Save every one of them and deliver them from the taskmaster to the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Father, now cover us with thy blood. Close us in for a time with thyself. Speak to us, O God. And may thy name be uplifted. May it be magnified. And may all us to hear this, hear it. And may you bless your word and touch these lips. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. I want first of all just to read you a little bit from Haslip's Two Babylons before I get to this message this morning. And I want to tell you what the Lord has spoke to me. And I've been praying a lot and feeling led to pray a lot of recent times. But I want to read you this first. Basically, this is the outline history of Christmas. And it's Haslip's Two Babylons, page 93 and 94. And I was thinking while I was waiting upon the Lord to say this, every preacher and every man that's going to be a preacher needs Haslip's Two Babylons in his study. That's a book he must have. I believe that, especially if he's a Protestant. For contained in it, it exposes Rome. And this Christmas is a Romish tradition and a Romish doctrine and a pagan one at that. And we know, even in the natural, that Christ was shepherds watched their flock by night in the fields, wasn't at Christmas. Wasn't at the 25th of December. Because they would not be lying out in the fields with their sheep on the 25th of December because it would be too cold. And even in Palestine, over the winter months, it's cold. And they would not be lying out in the fields at that time of the year. So it's pagan. And the Bible says, when shepherds watch their sheep by night, laying out in the fields, and we know that would never be the date when the Lord was born. Now I know a lot of farmers today do have sheep lambing at this time of the year, but you such farmers and was brought up on farms know more than me that that did not used to be the way. That people did not have lambs, not sheep lambing at this time of the year. It used to be later in the year than this. It was more for the coming into the spring. But nevertheless, I'm just saying it to let you know. The Christian church, no such festival as Christmas was ever heard of till the 3rd century. And that not till the 4th century was far advanced did it gain much observance. How then did the Roman church fix on December the 25th as Christmas Day? Why thus, long before the 4th century and long before the Christian era itself, a festival was celebrated among the heathen at the precise time of the year in honour of the birth of the son of the Babylonian Queen of Heaven, and may fairly be presumed that in order to make it that date the heathen and to swell the number of the nominal adherents of Christianity, the same festival was adopted by the Roman Church, giving it only the name of Christ. This tendency on the part of Christians to meet paganism halfway was very early developed. And we find Tertullian, even in his day, about the year of 230, bitterly lamenting the inconsistency of the disciples of Christ in this respect, and contrasting with it the strict fidelity of the pagans to their own superstitions. By us, says he, who are strangers to the Sabbaths, new moons, festivals, once acceptable to God, the Saturnalia feast of January, the Brumley and Matronalia, are now frequented, gifts are carried to and fro, New Year's Day, presents are made within, and sports and banquets are celebrated with uproar. Oh, how much more faithful are the heathen to the religion who take special care to adopt the solemnity from Christians. Upright men strove to stem the tide, but in spite of all efforts, the apostasy went on. Still the church, with the exception of a small remnant, was submerged under pagan superstition. That Christmas was originally a pagan festival is beyond all doubt. The time of the year, the ceremonies which it is still celebrated prove its origin in Egypt. The son of Isis, the Egypt title for the Queen of Heaven, was born at that very time, about the time of the winter time. The very name by which Christians is properly known among ourselves, Yuletide. Prove at once its pagan Babylonian origin. Yule is a Chaldean for an infant or a little child on the 25th of December. Now, I don't want to keep reading on page 93 and 94 of Esdras through Babylon, but I'm telling you from the very start of this meeting, it's paganism. But what I'm saying that is, in spite of all that, we will take this day to reverence the Lord. Whether the 25th is birthday, which we don't believe it is, but I believe it is an opportunity for us as believers to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyhow, the world, which are heathen, they make such an ado of today and of Christmas. It's unreal. And we, so many times as Christians, are so led back. We miss church, we miss so many things. We have no go about it. But we should have. Let's be honest about it. But the world has. They'll have their trees up, their festivals up, all the different stuff. And there's many things Brother Branham says about it. He says, have a tree, I'm all for it. Surprised some of you when you heard that, didn't it? What he did say. A lot of things would surprise you what he said. Yes. Says, have it. Have your prizes, have all your things, but do it as to the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We're doing it as to the Lord. Amen. And I believe we need to have it as to the Lord. We've come to worship the Lord. When I prayed and I sought the Lord about the, what I speak about Christmas, I realized it's all about Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the time for us to celebrate the Lord Jesus. To look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to take this as an opportunity for Christ. And we know He was born into the world. I've read the scriptures. For unto us a child is born. Isaiah 9 verse 6. Unto us a king is given. The government shall be upon His shoulders. God made flesh. God manifested. That's why we're here, to celebrate the Lord's birth. Now, even though it's paganism and all that, and you could spend hours on it, some people wouldn't even send a birthday card. They're so strict on it. There's definitely no trees, no cards, no nothing. But Spurgeon says, go ahead and use it as to the Lord. Amen. And William Branham said the same. So that's what I'm going to do. Amen? Amen. So if you want to give me a present, God bless you. And if I could, I'd give you one too. Praise God. Amen. Now I want to get to the point this morning what the Lord spoke to me. And I really believe it. Praise God. Even though we know the 25th of December is not the birth of Christ, we as believers can still take this opportunity to remember the birth of Christ, and the most importantly, what the angel said to Joseph. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. This is what I'm going to preach about today. The calling of the name Jesus. You know, Brother Branham preached a great message, and the title of it was The Name of Jesus. Voice of God changed the title. You'll not find it no more. They changed the title. They call it now the Holy Ghost. But the original title, my father has a book, and maybe I'll give him it back. It's a blue book, one of the old books. The title is The Name of Jesus. And here the angel comes to Joseph and he announces to Joseph, Joseph was going to put Mary away because he found her a child. And the angel of the Lord visits him. I tell you, this man trembled in his boots, as the saying is here in Ulster, when the angel come to him. I want you to know that. And the angel said to him, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife. And God already called Mary his wife, because it was predestined that she would be his wife from the foundation of the world by the foreknowledge of God. She is found with child of the Holy Ghost. Who then is the Father of Jesus? The Holy Ghost. That's why you can't have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have three different gods. But you're found with child of the Holy Ghost. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Praise God. Now I'm not going to tell you just yet. But I want to say that God spoke to me on Friday night, the 22nd of December. Here's what God spoke into my spirit. We need a revival of the preaching of the name of Jesus amongst us. As God spoke to me. I said to the Lord, I've been praying, what will I preach? What will I bring? And I see all over the world, they preach this, they preach that, they preach whatever they want. But God spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit spoke into me. Late in the evening and Friday night. And he said, we need a revival of the preaching of the name of Jesus. Amen. And the scriptures just flooded me.
Amen.
Right to the Bible. And when God speaks to you, he will bring you to the Word of God.
Amen.
He won't bring you to some fancy saying or some dream that God doesn't do this or that or some paganism. He will bring you to the Word of God.
Amen.
That's right.
And we are here today to celebrate the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're here today to talk about the greatest name that was ever spoken. The name of Jesus Christ. The name that is above every name. The name that's higher than every other name, both in the heavens and in the earth below. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess, every knee shall bow, both in heaven and in earth. At the name of Jesus, there's no name like the name of Jesus. Demons tremble in fear at the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
When you lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus, you're healed. Salvation is in the name of Jesus. Baptism is in the name of Jesus. Whatsoever things you do, do it as unto the Lord in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, we're here today to worship Jesus.
Amen.
I thank God he was born. I thank God for the babe of Bethlehem. Little Jehovah. Laying in a manger. I thank God for it. And I'm going to praise God for it.
Amen.
And Christmas for me is a time to celebrate the Lord. Christmas for me is a time to worship my Savior and my God.
Amen.
That's what it is for me.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Nowhere in all of the scriptures are we asked to preach in any other name. You know, there's people today that are not preaching in the name of Jesus. They're preaching in names, but not the name of Jesus. We are not called to preach in any other name, but only the name of Jesus Christ. It's only this name that the angel pronounced shall save his people from their sin. This is the name of salvation. This is the name of deliverance. This is the name that God gives to this world, to save this world, to heal this world. The name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a name.
Amen.
What a name.
God.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
Smith Wigglesworth said, when he went to pray for a dying man, he said, I began to whisper the name of Jesus. He said, we never prayed a prayer. We just whispered the name of Jesus. And as we whispered the name of Jesus, the dying man rose from his sickness and rose from
from his bed and stood upon his feet, because a whisper in the name of Jesus is more powerful than a shout in the name of the Pope. It's a whisper in the name of Jesus. I tell you, his name is his ointment poured forth. The name of Jesus. There's no name to match or to equal the name of Jesus. What a name, the name of Jesus. What a name. But I tell you again, we need a revival of the preaching of the name of Jesus. I'm talking about everywhere, universal, over the world. They need to come back to the preaching of the name of Jesus. Quit all the nonsense and all the tomfoolery and preach the name of Jesus. I tell you, when people say today we no longer need the cross, that lets you know that somewhere something has blinded them. Some other spirit, not the Holy Spirit. For that's against Scripture. We need to preach the cross. We need to preach the resurrection. We need to preach what Paul preached, what Peter preached, what God's prophet in this end time preached. We need to preach it. William Branham said many things, but here's what he said. Said no creed but Christ. No book but the Bible. He said, don't look to me, I'm just your brother. But I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. He preached Jesus. I tell you, not only did he preach Jesus, but hear me this morning. He received an invitation to go to the Jesus only group, and he wouldn't go. And his mother-in-law bad-mouthed them and spoke against them. But as the boat neared the waterfall in the time of the great flood, and the engine wouldn't start on the boat, he said, God, save me. Let me live. And I vow to you, I'll go to the Jesus only people. And he gave her one more pull and she started. And that's who he went to. And he preached to them.
That's true.
Oh, I tell you, you know what he preached? Preached about the man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And he cried. And he said he cried too. Simple sermons. But from the Lord. Don't despise the simplicity of Christ or you'll miss it. We need the name of Jesus. But only in the name of Jesus Christ. So today, as the world worships Santa Claus, we worship the one whose coming was proclaimed by the stars in the heaven and by the angels sent from Almighty God. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Amen. We're not here to worship St. Nicholas.
No.
We're not here to worship Santa Claus. But we're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords,
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Hold glory.
Amen.
The name that's above every name. That's what we're here to worship. There's no other name the equal or the match for the name of Jesus. Born without sin. A name that's above every other name, both in heaven and on earth. The lovely, precious name of Jesus. Jesus was all man, and yet more than a man, he was indeed the God-man. There's a statement that many old preachers always preach, we never hardly hear today. The God-man. He was all man and he was all God at the same time.
Amen.
He was absolutely supreme deity, our Lord Jesus Christ. God was in him in fullness. Praise God. God manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. Praise God for it. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is who we're worshiping.
Amen.
We're not just worshiping some man somewhere, or some priest, or some good person. We're worshiping the Prince of Peace, the Lord of all glory, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Amen.
Oh, there's nobody like Him. We're worshiping Him, praise God.
Amen.
Jesus was Almighty God, manifested in the flesh. We're called to preach Jesus Christ. We're not called to preach anything else. But we're called to preach Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything amongst you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I determined to know nothing else amongst you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I tell you, Peter preached the cross. Paul preached the cross. Every true preacher will preach the cross. Our brother sang me a wonderful song just yesterday. You know how I always tell the story about the big policeman finding the wee fella lost. And he takes him by the hand and he walks him down the street and he says, "I'm lost, mister." Then all of a sudden the wee boy spots the steeple of a church and he says, "I live over there." And he says, "How do you know, son?" And he says, "Do you see that big cross? My house is just behind it." And God spoke to the big policeman and He says, "When you get them to the cross,
amen,
I'll do the rest."
Amen.
So they're at home at the cross.
Amen.
Brother sent me a wonderful song of Brother Jeff about it. Where somebody had sang a song about that. That's wonderful.
Amen.
All about getting them to the cross. No use getting them to the church. No use getting them to an organization. They must come to the cross. They must know Christ personally. That's the thing the prophet said. People are not getting to Christ. They must get to Jesus Christ. He's the only way of life. The true life. For in Him's life and in Him is eternal life. Praise God. We're to preach Jesus Christ. Look what our Lord said in Acts 1, verse 5 to 8. You can read it. I want you to get this today. I've been thinking about this of late. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, "Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" And He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." But all we hear today is a fussing match. That people are going to tell us that the Lord's come. People are going to tell us, and they fuss and fuss about these things Jesus said. Don't fuss about. It's not important for you to know. Don't be getting carried away with these things. And 1,000 interpretations of the seven seas, somebody answered a different one, and the truth is wrong. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen.
For if they say they know what they're talking about, you can be well assured the prophet said they'll miss it. Leave it alone.
Amen.
The same thing that Jesus said is what William Branham said. Leave it alone. Oh, hallelujah. What are you going to get this? Here's an important bit. This is a bit they're not doing what they should be doing. This is for all of us to be careful. And He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." In other words, only God will know. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Glory to God. I feel it now. Hallelujah. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Our job is to take the gospel to the world, to preach Jesus Christ, to preach healing, to preach salvation, and not to be fussing about other things. That's our job.
Amen.
Oh, but it's all over now. Nobody's going to come. My, I'm going to tell you one thing. If the farmers took that attitude, we'd all starve. There'd be no bread. I want to tell you, we need to go forward. I am going going to say, like an old Pentecostal preacher said, he said, though we're living in Laodicea, I will live like another is. But the fire of God, that's what he said.
Amen.
That's what we need today.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Look at it. Not important to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. Now I'm not saying we're not to tell what God's done in our day. Certainly we believe that. I'm not talking about that. Don't misunderstand me this morning. But I'm talking about that one won't agree with the other because they see this wee thing different and the other wee thing different, and they fuss apart and the world laughs at them. We need to go forward with the gospel.
Amen.
We need to have an ambition and a desire like the early church had.
Amen.
I'm going to get to the normal of here. We shouldn't be a Sunday only church.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get that in a moment, man. I won't miss it.
Amen.
Oh, yes. And I'll show you it from the Bible.
Amen.
Some people think God only moves on a Sunday. They've never read the Bible. Oh, I tell you, the book of Acts wasn't a Sunday only church.
Amen.
Praise God. We must take the gospel into the whole world. That's the most important thing. The world must hear about the gospel. The good news of salvation through the name of Jesus Christ. That's what they must hear about. Let's go see how Peter preached after the day of Pentecost. Let's have a look. Remember that the beginning of the true church of God was at Pentecost. The inauguration of the church is Pentecost. When we talk about the message, when we talk about the spirit of Elijah, when we talk about God visiting in our day and sending the Malachi 4, 5 and 6 messenger, it's to turn our hearts back to the original apostolic faith. That's what it's all about. So we're claiming we're turned back, and we're claiming we're message believers. We must be like the book of Acts. Not some, well, I'm a message believer. Alright, give me your definition of a message believer. I believe in a prophet, that's wonderful. That's good. But are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know the God of the prophet? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Have ye received the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
I tell you something. The message William Branham brought is the real gospel.
Amen.
The original gospel. That's what it was.
Amen.
There's no difference. Pastor once said to me, he said, Brother Tom, there's something unique about you. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you're able to preach the message and the gospel together. I said, they're not together. They're the same.
Amen.
They're the same. I said, the message is the gospel. The gospel is the only message.
Amen.
That is the message. The message is the good news. It is the gospel. You look up the word message. Brother Brian Freeborn preached a sermon on it a while time back. And he called it the message. And all through the Bible it talks about the message. But it's not the way people talk about it today now. It's the Bible. Now let me get you this. Acts 10 verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. This is Peter after his experience. And remember, Peter wasn't going to go down to these fellows for they were unclean. Not a whole lot like today.
Amen.
Isn't it?
Amen.
I tell you, they'll preach you from the Old Testament and bring you into bondage.
Yep.
And they'll line you up with the law that God abolished.
Amen.
Christ abolished it. You know that?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I see some of you are looking at me dumbfounded. All right then, we'll have a go at it then. All right. Somebody who was born out of wedlock, an illegitimate child in the Old Testament, could not enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. That's the Old Testament. Are we under it? No. We are living in the day of grace.
Amen.
And Paul says some of you are fornicators, some of you are adulterers, the congregation, regardless of our past, we're here because of the grace of Almighty God. Can you see that now? Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Thank God for it. That we're here by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, thank God for the Word of God. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth, praise God, and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he of fear of him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Yes.
The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by the church, no, by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is Lord of all. That the word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. What did he command them to preach? About himself. Christ. That's what he was commanded to preach. Oh, praise God. Verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. Your Old Testament's all about the coming of the Lord. That's what it's about. That's why I told you people make a big mistake with an Old Testament prophet and a New Testament prophet. Now, they're both prophets. But the Old Testament prophet's job's different from the New Testament's. In that sense. You understand what I'm saying? Because the Old Testament prophets were pointing to Calvary, to the coming of the Lord. They were pointing to that great event, which now has happened. And I tell you, God in our day sent a prophet again to turn us back to the original apostolic faith. That's what God done. So that we would look to this book of Acts. That's the book we need to look at. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they were of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that all the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 46. For they heard them say they believed the message. Now come on! Don't get quiet! And get all religious.
Amen.
This is the Bible now.
Amen.
Don't leave it.
No.
Stay with it.
Amen.
You don't need any sort of a thing. Just believe it and you'll be all right. No. You don't read that. Whatever way God did it at the start, he does it the same way every time. Are you following here?
Amen.
Let's get to it. Praise God. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues. Glory to God. And magnify God. Then Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them. It wasn't up to themselves. He commanded them. To be baptized in the name of the Lord, not three titles. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days, for they just come out of a revival. Power of God fell. You will notice that he says they received the Holy Spirit the same as we did at the beginning. But I'll tell you what's happening. People want to give you a different Holy Ghost. Which is not the Holy Ghost. For there's only one Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if the Holy Ghost made people speak in tongues, it will still make people speak in tongues.
Amen.
Now we know tongues is not the evidence that you have the Holy Spirit, but it is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke in tongues. God's prophet spoke in tongues. I heard a man one night preaching and he blasphemed tongues. And he called tongues tripe. That's a cow's belly. I tell you, it's dangerous stuff to talk against the Holy Ghost. We are living in a time when Jesus himself said, all manner of sins shall be forgiven man. But a word spoken against the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven. Neither in this world or the world to come. We cannot speak against the Holy Ghost. We only can speak for the Holy Ghost and with the Holy Ghost. As they did. Praise God. They commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. See, just as Christmas is a pagan festival, so is the Trinity. A pagan fest from paganism. And baptizing three titles is absolutely paganism. Paganism. The disciples never once did it. There's no scripture nowhere after the day of Pentecost were they ever baptized in three titles. Not one scripture. They did it in the name of the Lord. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Lord, the name of the Son, Jesus, and the name of the Holy Ghost, which is Christ. Because he's the anointed Christ for the Holy Ghost. Christ means anointed one. That's the way they did it in the book of Acts. Amen? Now, you're listening well. I'm not rushing the dead. It's just one service, so I hope you're all right. I won't be long. I promise you I won't be long. Praise God. Look how I preach through the name of Jesus. This is my point here. My point's not the tongues, but I believe in them. My point is they preached it through the name of Jesus. Peter received a visitation from Almighty God. He saw these people. He said, they're unclean. The beast came down before me. We go back in chapter 10, read it. All these things came before him. And he said, I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean.
That's right.
And the Lord says, don't call what I've cleansed unclean. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. And Peter preached Jesus to them. Not only did Peter preach Jesus to them, God was so pleased with Peter's sermon that while he yet spake, the Holy Ghost, glory to God, come on them. Hallelujah. I tell you, he didn't baptize them into the Holy Church. He didn't baptize them into some religion. He baptized them into the name of Jesus Christ. He commanded them to be baptized. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
I tell you, this is the real book of Acts preaching. We need to preach salvation and baptism in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Look what it made them do. The same thing that they did on the day of Pentecost. The thing that they did on the day of Pentecost, everywhere in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they did it again. Now, here's another thing I've learned. You never ever once, in the book of Acts, never once, after the day of Pentecost, you never once read of them tarrying for the Holy Ghost. Not once. When did you get this? Because the word tarry means to wait. And they were waiting on the promise of the Father coming. And the promise of the Father coming was the outpouring of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And that's why here, while Peter yet spake, it came on them and they never tarried for it, because it already was poured out. Not only that, but in another scripture they laid hands on them and they received it.
Amen.
What I'm telling you is, you don't need to wait for a month to get it. God can give you it right away.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Now it's good to wait on the Lord. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew the strength. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for people preach like the book of Acts chapter 1. They tarry and they take that. And they say we must close away and tarry. That's good if you want to do it. But the Holy Ghost, you can receive it right this morning.
Right.
Without time.
Amen.
Because it's been poured out.
That's right. Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe it with all my heart.
Amen.
Now you'll not get it if you're living like the devil. I know that. But if you're right with God, you'll get it.
That's right.
God will give you it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you can expect the same thing they had.
Amen.
Why would you settle for less, brother? Would you not want the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, God can give you the same thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then he baptized them in the name of the Lord. Notice, after the day of Pentecost, they never needed to tie. Listen to this. Let me read you this. This is from a message called Israel and the Church. Now you say, people say, let's have a tarrying meeting. Glory to God. Let's go back. And say, glory to God. Let's tarry for the Holy Spirit. There's no such a thing. Listen to this. Tarry don't mean pray. Tarry means wait. This is what I'm trying to say. Tarry means to wait. How many knows that the word tarry means wait? Jesus says, wait up there in the city of Jerusalem until the promise is given you. I don't know what they were doing. They was probably praying. I don't know. But never did they have to wait after that. While Peter spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them all down. When Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Is that right? See, no waiting. The Holy Ghost was there and gave them the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the confirmation of their faith. Confirmation of the faith they were given the Holy Ghost. We don't just want a Sunday church. Now can you see what I'm saying? I'm not saying, Brian, don't wait in the Lord. I'm all for it. I believe strongly in it. But I'm saying that some people make an excuse that you can't receive it because of this and because of this. God can give you it if you're right with God. If you obey God's word, you are a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now today.
Amen.
Not tomorrow, now.
Amen.
Why would God not do it now? When did you get saved? The moment you called. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You got saved the moment you called. Jesus didn't need to be crucified again. Jesus was crucified 2,000 years ago. Your salvation's paid for. The Holy Ghost has been poured out. You can receive it.
Amen.
And God can baptize you today.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Don't limit God. That it could take God a week or a month. Don't limit God. He can do it right now.
That's right.
God can do it. I believe it with all my heart.
Amen.
Now, we don't just want to be a Sunday church, but an everyday church.
Amen.
Now, these are the things the Lord's given me from the other night to preach. Acts 2 verse 44. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church every Sunday. No, daily. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Don't wait for next Sunday to bring somebody to church. Get them to Jesus there and then.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
T.L. Osborne said something that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was blessed. He said, go to where the sinners are.
Amen.
I thought about that. You don't have to go far to get a sinner.
No. Right.
He said, go to where the sinners are. He said, it's hard to get people into church.
Mm-hmm.
And people associate church and they're afraid of it almost. But he said, you need to go to where the sinners are.
Amen.
So every one of us can go to where the sinners are. We can witness at our work.
Right.
We can witness when we're out and about. We can tell people about the greatest event that this world's ever seen. The birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God.
Amen.
We can tell them about it.
Yeah.
Now here's another thing. What God showed me as well. I know I'm saying God showed me. This is in the scripture. You saw the first one, not just Sunday. Now, look, I'm not saying don't come to church. Come to church. My goodness, I want you to come.
Amen.
Gather often as you see the day approaching. But I'm telling you, don't just think that you have to wait around to next week before you God can do something. God can do it for you every day.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit's been poured out. He's available to you.
Amen.
You can call on the Holy Ghost to move in the name of Jesus.
Right.
He'll move for you. Praise God. It's hot in here, isn't it? It's warm up here anyhow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's another thing. In Acts 3 verse 1 to 9. You can read this. And I love this portion. Peter and John didn't need a prayer meeting to get fired up.
Amen.
Peter and John didn't need some sort of an event to get them in the place to do it.
Amen.
But while they were on the way to service,
amen,
they met a man.
Amen. Right.
They didn't go to church to get Jesus,
glory,
but they took Jesus,
glory,
with them everywhere they went.
Amen.
Are you hearing me?
Glory. Amen.
We should all come to church with our liquefier.
Amen.
Not coming to get a lick, but we should come with a liquefier.
Amen.
Praise God. Are you getting that?
Amen.
While they went up at the hour of prayer to the temple, there was a man here. Now listen carefully to this one. He was led daily at the gate. He was there when Jesus was on the earth. Oh, you hearing me? Somebody, don't try and explain it. I'll just say it like this. The Lord must have left it for these fellows so that this could be done. That's the only way I can say it. Amen?
Amen.
That's how I believe it. But he was there when the Lord was on earth. He was led daily up the temple. Daily. All the religious people passed him every day going to church. But these two fellows, where did they go to this? Glory to God. These fellows had had an upper room experience. These fellows were filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't Sunday only Christians. They were Christians every day. Glory to God. They said, we silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And they took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And immediately he received strength. Glory to God. I'll tell you, he didn't walk up. He danced up. He danced up to the temple. He danced the whole way to church. That's the sort of church we need.
Amen.
I tell you, one of them great them con mornings we had to run around this place.
Amen.
I know people say we're crazy, but never worry about that.
Amen.
Can you imagine what it was like when the people in the temple sees this fellow that's lay for weeks and months and years daily at the gate? Here he comes to Peter and John, and he's not just walking in, he's dancing up in the church. Glory to God. He's going to have a glory meeting now.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the Lord's healed him.
Amen.
The Lord's delivered him.
Amen.
The Lord set him free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I tell you, our God's able.
Amen.
Our God's able.
Amen.
You say, brother, why are you preaching all this? Here it is. We need a revival of the preaching of the name of Jesus. It is your right. Hear me this morning. This is the word of the Lord. It is your right to use the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It is your right. Over this Christmas, if trouble comes your way, it's your privilege, it's your right to use the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And speak it in every situation.
Amen.
And believe God,
right,
that the Holy Spirit, just like the Peter, will back up what you're saying. I tell you, our God's able.
Amen.
Our God's able. Praise God. Acts 8 verse 12, and I'm closing. 2 minutes and I'm closing. It's just coming up 8:30. Look, the time's fine. Praise God. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, here it is again in the name of Jesus. I want you to see a pattern. I'm trying to get this pattern across. I don't know if I'm doing it right or not. But everywhere, when Philip preaches a sermon, when Peter preaches a sermon, when Paul preaches a sermon, every one of them is preaching about the name of Jesus Christ. That's the sermon. That's the center of the sermon. It's not anything else. You don't hear any of them preaching about the other fella. You never hear Paul quoting Peter, do you? You don't hear that. You hear him quoting Jesus. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
There's too much of looking to other men when the man that came told told us to look to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I know there's disagreements with them. Certain things. Because they were just men, but they didn't stop the move of God. How many knows that?
Amen.
But I'll tell you one thing, they preached baptism the same. They preached the Godhead the same. Peter and Paul never had met. They had them things in common. Amen. Now listen to this. He preached Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Look, on the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Verse 13. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which he were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And they went down and they preached, and they said, now if you take a fortnight here or a month, I'm sorry, I'll get it. You don't believe that?
No.
No, I'm not belittling it. I'm telling you what the Bible says here. We put God at limitations. God does not want to be limited. God can do it right away.
Amen.
For us yet, he was fallen upon none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Glory to God.
Amen.
They believed the word.
That's right.
And were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John went down and laid hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came on them. I tell you, this is what we need. We need this same experience, this same power of God. You need to start talking like you have it. Amen. Like your brother John quoted in his prayer, I shall not preach the sermon, you have no trouble. That was the whole title of it. You have no trouble. No trouble at all. And he goes over all the situation, he says, you have no trouble because you've got the Lord. Amen. I tell you what the doctors told us. That the family will never reach Ireland, but Brother Sammy will pass away before they get here. That was trouble, but we had no trouble.
Amen.
We had the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then when they came, the doctor says he has improved slightly. They didn't want to admit it.
That's right.
Now thank God for the doctors and nurses. But Jesus Christ is the healer, isn't that right?
Amen.
But we thank God for doctors and nurses.
Amen.
I thank God, it's a hard job. It is a hard job. Let's be honest about it. Even Brother Sammy will tell you, when you ask him, when you see him, he'll tell you it's a tough job for nurses and doctors.
Yes.
What they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he appreciates them.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank the Lord three times.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up to die.
Mm-hmm.
All the trouble was there. But we had no trouble.
Amen.
We had Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God. Now I'm closing. Today and this day when the world worships Santa Claus, let us take this opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember his birth and what it really means to us. True Christians, a Savior has come into the world. Let us praise him. I'm closing. Let us take this as an opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus. We need a revival of preaching. In the name of Jesus. I tell you, you get a hold of that sermon if you can. I'll try and find the title of it, though they've changed it. The name of Jesus. I tell them, them sermons just bless you. What about this one? When the wee fellow goes down into the mine with a sister in the elevator, they made it like a touring thing where the coal miners used to go down. And the light went out. And she was dead afraid and she gripped her brother. And he turned round and he said, don't worry. There is a man here that can turn on the light. That's how simple a prophet preached a sermon from that. There's a man here that can turn on the light. He didn't preach you about a church. He preached you about Jesus Christ. That's what he preached. Jesus Christ. A revival of a preaching in the name of Jesus Christ we need.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, I would that God would stir us. I would that God would stir us. If you don't think you have the Holy Ghost, I want you to receive it. That's why I pray. Every time I come to this pulpit, I say I'm taking it. You say you're copying another brother. I know there's other brothers praying it. I don't care if they did it was right. Because somebody else prayed it doesn't mean I can't pray it. I'm going to pray it. Paul prayed things in here, and I'm going to say it the way he said it. You know, in the book of Acts, after the trouble came, they didn't fall down and say, Lord, of all this trouble. No, they prayed. They said, Lord God, in the name of thy holy child Jesus, stretch forth thy mighty arm in signs and wonders and miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Let's bow our heads this morning. If you want prayer, just lift your hand up to the Lord. I'm not going to call nobody forward.
Yep.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can celebrate your name. Lord, that we can hymn Jesus. Lord, there's no name like your name. You are the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. We believe in you. We're your children. You're our Father. And we cry, Abba, Father, unto you this morning. Heavenly Father, bless your children, I pray. Lord, I ask in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus that you grant strength and blessing and health to the navel over this holiday time. May we think upon you, your lovely name, for your name's higher than any other name.
Yeah.
Lord, we're not come because of a pagan festival, but we're come because an angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Amen.
And he shall save his people from their sin. Yeah. Lord, we've come to worship you. We've come to praise you. We've come to magnify the name of the Lord. We've come to say that great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. That there's none like unto thee, for thou alone art worthy to be praised, worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. We worship and adore thy lovely name. Father, I pray for the hands that's raised this morning. Answer their prayers, I pray. May the power of the Holy Ghost come upon thy people, and may we experience the same blessing and the same manifestation that they had here in the book of Acts. Lord, we know the Holy Ghost will do the same thing every time. Lord, you're unchanged. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we worship you. Bless and strengthen every sister, every brother, every boy, and every girl. And Lord, for those that are sick, may they speedily recover. May there be a cure done upon them by the Master this morning. In Jesus Christ's name. Grant it, Lord. Bless your brother Mark as he comes. Bless your sister Alva on the organ. Bless your people and strengthen them at this time. And meet our every need. As we look to thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. God bless you everyone. God bless you. Next Sunday, don't forget the same time.